I'm with the president of the IOU, Dr. Bilal Phillips, for those that don't know, and we're going to be talking about many different things. One of them I wanted to start off with, your reaction, Sheikh, to the Netflix. They have a film, I believe it's called something about the Messiah and people linking it to Dajjal. Did you get a chance now to look at the trailer, and what was your first reaction when you saw that?
I did see the trailer. Somebody sent it to me. And I mean, it's to be expected. You know, this is, it was just a matter of time, you know, before it came. I mean, they did the Christ thing before. You know, what's his name from Australia? You know, he did that Passion of Christ.
Mel Gibson, yeah, Passion of the Christ.
Mel Gibson. And before that, there was Jesus Christ, the superstar. You know, of course, that was a, you know, he was portrayed as a homosexual, and, you know, it was offensive to a lot of people, etc. But, I mean, this is to be expected that this is a key figure in, you know, in the West, who from time to time they're going to bring things out to revive. The churches are emptying, you know, so what can bring people back, stir them, touch them, you know, so that effort's going to be there.
Mm-hmm. What it, when you mentioned Dajjal, for those people who've never heard this term, what is the Islamic concept? What is, how does Islam view this? What's the definition of it? What is it, what does this term mean for people just to really have no clue?
Well, the term Dajjal, coming from Dajjala, you know, it means false. And it has been translated when they talk about Al-Masih al-Dajjal, bringing the two together, Al-Masih being the Messiah. It means the false Messiah or the false Christ, or the, you know, the Antichrist is the common term which is used in Christian theology and eschatology, you know, this Antichrist, the false Christ, because obviously the Antichrist is an imitation. So the Antichrist, I mean, it's been talked about in Jewish scriptures, early Jewish scriptures. It was developed in the Christian scriptures to become an actual figure. In the Jewish scriptures, they identified some pagan rulers as Antichrist, and in Christian scriptures, they identified also rulers of different eras. They even, you know, in the time of the Reformation, etc., they identified the popes, you know, the papacy as being the Antichrist. So they, and then they have descriptions of the individual and what he's going to do. They have, you know, that's been in their theological descriptions over the years, you know, taking on many different forms. But of course, it's not based on revelation, you know, it's surmise. I mean, obviously the idea of the Dajjal, you know, is based on revelation. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had said that, you know, every single prophet who preceded him warned his people about the Dajjal. So we know that it is based in revelation, ultimately. But, you know, in time it gets distorted, warped, you know, the clear picture of it is not there. It's only in Islamic scriptures you can find a clear, crystal clear description of Dajjal, you know, right down to his eyeballs, you know, what does he actually look like? And his build, his descriptions are there, you know, all the details are there. Then when he's going to come, where he's going to come from, you know, who's going to follow him, you know, when he comes, what kind of a fitna or trial will he be for humankind? And the Prophet ﷺ has said that, you know, that between his time and the ending of the world, or even from the time of Adam, actually, from the time of Adam till the ending of the world, there has been or will be no greater trial for humankind than Ad-Dajjal, the Antichrist.
So you mentioned, Sheikh, Dr. Bilal, that we see this with every messenger that the Creator sent. One, that they all came with the same message: worship the one God, the Creator, not the creation. And they also warned about the Antichrist, every one of them?
Every last one of them.
Do you hear that? What's your reaction when you hear a lot of some people who are misinformed, some hate provocateurs, some people who've just been misled, when they try to attribute this term Antichrist to Muslims?
Well, you know, it's natural that the concept of Antichrist became anyone who did not believe in Jesus's divinity. You know, so the greatest, you could say, religious movement, which specifically denied the divinity of Christ, for them, that represented the Antichrist. So Muhammad, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, was labeled in their circles as the Antichrist. So those who follow him are following the Antichrist. This is, you know, there was a period of time, especially during the time of the Crusades, you know, when they wanted to drum up, you know, that people to come and fight in Palestine, that region, in Jerusalem, etc., to take it back from the Muslims, as they said, to motivate those people to come travel thousands of miles across Europe, from all the way from the UK, on foot, to come there and fight, give up their lives. They motivated, it was one of the things that they used to motivate them to come and make that massive sacrifice, you know, that they were fighting against the Antichrist, the followers of the Antichrist.
But if you just break down, if you say Antichrist, Christ meaning the Messiah, right? This is, if you translate it from
the Greek, from Messiah, you know, Messiah, when it goes into Greek, it ends up as Christos, you know.
Yeah. So now for us to be Antichrist, that would be anti-Jesus, but that would just take us out of Islam. That's something that goes against the tenets of Islam. We have to believe in the Messiah, in Jesus, not as a God or literal Son of God. So anybody who just does a little bit of superficial or just top of the surface homework, they'll see that this is just totally false.
Yeah, a lot of Christians are under the impression that we as Muslims don't even believe in Jesus. You know, we consider him to be fake, that there was no Jesus, there was no person by that name or whatever, or we rejected Jesus. But in fact, you know, Islam embraces Jesus. You know, Jesus is the prophet who came before prophet, the last of the prophets, Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be on both of them. So, you know, it's a part of our own faith. You know, it's a part of our own faith to believe in Jesus. If one says he doesn't believe in Jesus, these, you know, we have some breakaway heretical sects, you know, that claim that, you know, Jesus is not coming back. You know, the Ahmadiyya, for example, Mirza Ghulam Ahmed back in the 1800s, you know, he claimed he was the Jesus that people were waiting for. And then you've had others who've made this type of claim, you know, before and after.
The film seems like it's going in these regions, like in Yemen and these places, Jerusalem, and it seems like it takes this actor these different places. And also, I believe his name was something connected with Mahdi. So, do you think they studied some of the Islamic sources? What do you think when they put this out? They would have to, because you mentioned there's nothing more detailed of this topic than the Islamic sources. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's not just surmise, you know. Otherwise, you've got people who have come up with all kinds of crazy stuff from themselves, but that you can say trace back to ancient sources, you know, because you're talking about the Quran and the teachings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam recorded, you know, that's 1,400 years ago. So this is ancient. Very, you know, so to go in there and draw bits and pieces from here, there, and everywhere to put together this, you know, semi-historical fiction type movie, it makes sense that they would do that's part of their homework.
So they probably, Netflix and them, whoever, the producers, they probably went into looking at the Islamic sources.
No, I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
Why they wouldn't, it makes sense that they would.
Yeah, and then when you look at such films, what do you think like these topics that are now coming up? What do you think the subliminal messages that they try to send? I mean, just from your experience, what would you pinpoint? What would you say?
Well, you know, when I see anything of this nature, I just think, we Muslims are sleeping, man, you know. Sleeping. We should have put it out. You know, we should have put out something on Dajjal. Why not?
Yeah.
You know, something, a topic which is, you know, appealing to people. They like this, you know. So it's, you know, I mean, whenever I go anywhere and I give a talk on Dajjal, you know, people flock. You know, it's something it becomes particularly attractive to people because, you know, we like the supernatural and, you know, superheroes and all of our kids, you know, especially in the West, etc. They all know, you know, the arch enemy of Superman, the arch enemy of Spider-Man. They know the arch enemy of all these different men. But, you know, if you ask them, well, what about the Antichrist? They have no idea. Mm. I mean, this is common in many Muslim places today. They don't know. You know, they don't teach the children. Instead, they will, let them play. They know, you know, Luther, and they know this one and that one, and, you know. But the Islamic superhero, the arch enemy of humankind, not just of one superhero, but of all of humankind, who's coming, you know, with a message which is going to blow people out of the water.
Mm-hmm. Are there some minor signs for the stage to be set for this Antichrist Dajjal to come that you can share with us?
Well, in terms of minor signs, we know that the Mahdi will come before. The Mahdi, who the Prophet ﷺ described as someone having the same, his name and his father's name, you know, and who would change overnight. So it's not somebody who it's everybody knew from the time he was born. This is the Mahdi. We've seen him. We've heard him. No, he's going to change, you know, in a relatively short space of time. Mm-hmm. And he's going to lead Muslim forces in confrontation with Rome. This is described as Rome, right? But it means the West, because they represented the Western world. Mm-hmm. So there would be that Armageddon, which the Christians speak about, and Muslims will defeat these forces.
Yeah,
and this is you could say the second basic signs, you know, that this is going to have to happen. Armageddon is going to have to happen. You know, the Mahdi is going to come. The forces will defeat the forces of the Western civilization. And Constantinople will be taken for a second time. You know, meaning that Constantinople, obviously before that, it's going to be taken away from Muslims. But it will be retaken in that period of time. So there's about four or five different signs that, you know, yeah. we could call those minor signs, but, you know, still Armageddon is not minor, yeah. it's major. But so, it's minor relative to that job.
Do we see now some minor or major signs that have already happened?
No. I don't believe that.
Nothing like a piece like that would predict that it's closer to actually happening because a certain thing has passed?
You know, people thought when the Mongols hit the Muslim world and devastated the Muslim world, and, you know, people thought this was it. You know, it's coming. You know, I mean, they just wiped out huge regions, cities, towns, villages. You know, they're just devastated. So people thought this was around that time. It's coming. Dajjal is, you know, just around the corner. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people, every era, every change of the century, you know, people are thinking, the idea starts to circulate and people get worked up and, you know, caught up in this, you could say, you know, suppositions, really. Mm-hmm. When the clear signs, because the Prophet ﷺ was very specific.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like vague. I mean, of course, who the Mahdi is, I mean, he's explained that it is going to be relatively vague in the sense that it's not somebody, as we said, who from the time he's born, everybody's saying, look at this guy, you know, this is so different, and, you know, so you're not surprised when he turns out to be the Mahdi. No, I mean, not as it's told in Shiite sources, you know, where, you know, he's coming out of a cave or whatever. Yeah. You know, they have this their set of stories too, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's not based on revelation. It's just suppositions. So the point in, you know, from the Islamic perspective, it's going to be, you know, it's going to follow as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam described. So without Armageddon, Dajjal is not around the corner. I mean, actually, there are bigger signs coming than the Armageddon. When the drought begins in the world, you know, some people might think, well, okay, now this is the climate change, this is here it's around the corner, you know, where the Prophet ﷺ had said, the first year before the coming of the final coming of Dajjal, you know, one third of the earth would not experience any rain. The second year, two thirds of the earth, no rain. Third year, no rain anywhere on earth. When that comes, know that Dajjal is around the corner. So this process or this development, it will take place within the context of the Armageddon and the Mahdi. You know, whether it overlaps, clearly overlapping, meaning like it's in the second year, we don't know. The Prophet ﷺ didn't give that detail. But we know that this one's going to take place before, and so is this one. They may overlap. Mm-hmm.
You being also a former Christian and someone who many would consider somewhat of an expert in the Bible, I mean, how much of it, when you compare the talk about it in Islam compared to in the Bible, how much is there of this Antichrist spoken about compared to as it is in the Quran and the Sunnah in Islamic sources?
Well, in the Islamic sources, there's far more information, you know, direct explanations given by Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, which end up being a part of our scriptural tradition. You know, I mean, there's the actual scripture, the Quran itself, and then the explanations which the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, gave. You know, so both of these sources, you know, come together. What we have about the Antichrist, this is mainly from the Sunnah, or the explanations of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is overlapping in that after the coming of Christ and the defeat of the Antichrist, Dajjal, it would be followed by the Gog and the Magog. And this is in Christian literature also. And that's mentioned in the Quran, the Gog and the Magog. You know, they're mentioned by name in the Quran itself, as well as circumstances, you know, regarding them being walled in, walled out of the rest of the world. Mm.
Does this have to also intertwine with what they have of the rapture?
Well, the rapture is, I think, we don't have anything to support that concept. We have texts from the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, after the time of Dajjal. Dajjal's defeated, the Gog and the Magog come, they try to attack Prophet Jesus and his people. They are able to escape them, and Allah destroys the Gog and the Magog, you know, after their, you know, devastation of much of the earth. He destroys them himself. And then the time would come after that where Jesus would rule, make Hajj, and with his death, the ending signs of the ending of the world will come rapidly after that. And one of those signs is that the believers would be, their souls would be taken from the earth, so that all the people who are left on the earth, by the time that the actual day of judgment comes, all of them would be evil people. Mm-hmm. All the believers, their souls would have been taken in what would be like a rapture.
So that you can connect that, there's some similarity there, because they believe the rapture is where all the believing, you know, people who believe in Jesus, they'll be taken up, right? So we have, so if you connect this.
That's this.
Yeah, but here we can say, like, helping, because we know a lot of the texts there, a lot of, you have anonymous books, you have, you know, a lot of speculation. Here, if the Christian wants to go above and beyond and really look into authentic sources, and you explain, like, what the true believers are, believing in Jesus' real mission, who he was, who he wasn't, and putting him in the right context, not as some people have taken him as a literal God, son of God, etc. This would make sense then. The way that Islam is describing him.
Yeah, because it's going to follow, you know, the time of Jesus' reign, when Jesus, you know, will finish off, you know, the issues of the Trinity. It will be ended.
Yeah.
You know, he would be the end of that series of misguidance, you know, satanic deviation and delusion of people into actually believing that Jesus, a prophet of God, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, was God himself. You know, that's as great a delusion as the delusion that the Antichrist, Dajjal, Masih al-Dajjal, would try to put over on people, that he was God.
Yeah.
You know, that's what he would be trying to sell people. And, you know, in his case, he would have with him the kind of evidences which would blow people's minds and make them accept that. You know, if they don't have correct faith, you know, then they will be easily sucked into that call of Dajjal.
Yeah.
Where Dajjal now portrays himself as God. He cuts people in half and walks between their halves and they come back together. You could say this is, what's his name? Angel, what's his name? These other magicians are doing stuff like
yeah,
this.
Chris,
too.
What's his name? Yeah. Chris Wayne, or I know what you're talking about. Chris Angel, or
something like that. So he will have the halves come back together. But, you know, he will put to people that if I bring people whose parents are dead, if I bring your father and mother back to life,
yeah,
would you accept me as God? And people, these are even people who are supposed to be believers, supposed to be Muslims, you know, and they will say, yeah, sure. If you're able to bring my parents back to life, you got to be God.
Mm-hmm.
And he would do it. You know, he wasn't bringing their parents back to life. It was really jinns, you know, from the world of the jinn, the spirit world, that would enter into our world, take the form of their parents and that people's parents, and would tell their sons and daughters, believe in him. He is God. And people will accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And accept him as God.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a serious test and trial for the faith of people at that time.
Mm-hmm. So Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, peace be upon him, who obviously as Muslims we love as one of the greatest messengers ever sent to mankind, who came with that same message as all the other prophets, worship the one God alone without associates or partners, believe in him. And you, at what point does he fit into this when we talk about Dajjal again? What point does he fit into all this?
Well, you know, the point is when Dajjal shows up and he appears on the scene and people are flocking behind him, and the forces of the Mahdi, right, after the defeat of the Western civilization's forces, when that defeat takes place, then he and the others, those who are with him, they will end up in Jerusalem. They will end up in Jerusalem, and Dajjal will have driven the Mahdi and those who are with him, driven, wiping out the armies that had come together behind the Mahdi. Dajjal and his forces now would be defeating them left and right as the trials are going on around the earth, because he's moving all over the place. You know, at the same time, he's, you know, defeating the forces of the Mahdi, and the Mahdi and his and those that were remained with him ended up in Jerusalem, and for the Fajr prayer, you know, when he is to lead them, Jesus will enter Jerusalem, and everybody, you know, steps back for him to lead the prayer, and he will insist that the Mahdi go ahead and lead the prayer. So this is where he comes in. So at this point now, Dajjal and his forces reach Jerusalem and are about to break into the city. And Jesus will now lead the forces, take the leadership of the forces. The Mahdi will be behind him and the others. And they will go to meet Dajjal and his forces. Jesus will spot him in the midst of his people and go after him. Because as soon as Dajjal sees him, he starts to flee. And Jesus will catch up with him and kill him using some kind of a spear. You know, he would finish him off and hold it upright, you know, to confirm to the people that Dajjal was killed.
So not only do we believe in Jesus, peace be upon him, as one of the greatest messengers, the Messiah, but also that he will defeat the Antichrist.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's another one of the beliefs that we believe in. And we also believe, obviously, through all this is because they often talk about his second coming. So this is another point of commonality that we also, as Muslims, believe that Jesus, like you're just describing, is coming back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
So there's a lot there in common. There's a lot there in common, a lot of talking points. And I'm surprised that a lot of this hate, you know, gets perpetuated when there's so much in common between us and the Christians.
It's very unfortunate. It's very unfortunate. But, you know, this is the media.
Yeah.
You know, the media, that's what sells newspapers. That's what attracts viewers, you know, the demonizing the Muslim world and its people. That's what sells.
You would be so surprised how much... I had a Christian on not too long ago, and he had a really good large following, and his followers were listening to our dialogue back and forth. We had a very nice conversation, and he went from bashing Islam, talking really negatively about Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and other things. Then he just had an awakening. He really saw, like, look at these people. The way they show reverence to Jesus. They say, peace be upon him after his name. You know, others will condemn him to the depths of hellfire, and we're good friends with them. And all these other, you know, things that are out there. And he just started to do a little bit of homework, and he saw, wow, you know, why am I going to hate these people, you know? And just from our conversation, those people who had, and some of their comments range from, man, I had this stem of hate for 20-some years, and just from watching you and this Christian and Muslim, us talk, you know, this has really helped to open my eyes. So how powerful just that communication between us and a good conversation and pointing out these similarities went a long way with so many of his followers.
Yeah, this is how it is for many, many people. You know, I've seen so many, you know, occasions. I've been present. I've talked with people, you know, and seen that awakening. You know, I remember this when in Dubai, when we were involved in this exhibition, and people were coming, and we were explaining Islam to them. Many, you know, foreigners, not, you know, non-Muslims, who are tourists visiting the country. And I remember this this lady coming in. And, you know, I was giving an, you know, explanation, you know, about the difference, you know, between the Christian concept concerning Jesus and the Muslim concept, you know. And I just gave a simple example, and I was just saying that, you know, basically the child of a dog is a puppy. The child of a cat is a kitten. The child of a cow is a calf. Then what is the child of God? Right? It's got to be another God. A little God. Mm-hmm. Because that's what the calf is. He's a little cow.
Yeah.
That's what the kitten is a little cat. So you have another God. You got a big God, a major God, and you have another God. They're not the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So she said, at that point, a bulb went off in her head.
The light bulb went on.
She hadn't thought about that, you know? But hey, yeah, that's what that means. You know, it's not, God is not a man. You know? God is not a man. So God, if he's going to have a child, he's got to be another God. That's what makes sense, you know? So, but then their belief says, no, you know, Jesus was a man. You know, God had a son who was a man. And that son was himself. You know, this is total confusion. Total confusion. But for her, that you know, comparison just...
It turned something on.
The bulb,
yeah.
You know? Yeah. She said, I just never thought about that.
Yeah.
That was it. She accepted Islam right on the spot.
Wow, subhanAllah. And for those people that don't know who are tuned in, Islam simply means to acquire peace by submitting to the creator of the heavens and earth, the one God, the same God that Jesus worshipped, the same God that Moses, Abraham, the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon them all. They all came, like you said, Sheikh, they all taught the pure monotheism. And this topic that we're talking about that got us talking about it more was the Netflix film. And do you think that's some good we can look at it from this aspect that now it's kind of, is it good that we talk about this topic? Is it good? Is it encouraged in Islam to talk more about this topic of the Dajjal? Because it reminds us of the hereafter, the Day of Judgment, and the things that are coming to pass in the future, and to take the departure, our departure date. Often people think about the birthdays, but they forget about their departure date, you know. So these things, is it good to talk about it to remind us of, you know, not getting so attached to this temporal world and prepare for what's coming next?
Definitely. This is, you know, as we said, most Muslims have very little knowledge about Dajjal. But they know about the superheroes and the arch, you know, right, enemies. And so this is something we lost. We should be the one who are putting out, you know, an excellent movie on Dajjal. Bringing the truth, because we have all the descriptions, we have all the things related to it, you know, all the information and that. Yeah, that would make a, you know, quite a movie.
Yeah. You mentioned these superheroes that people take as superheroes, you know, the Spider-Mans and the Batmans and all that, and you see a lot of parents. You as an educator, what do you think now? Should the parents replace these? Well, you have the basketball stars, they'll have the flashcards, you know, and they'll be giving them to their kids. What do you think when you see this? Should they be replaced with some of our superheroes or topics of Dajjal? What do you think about this?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We have more than enough material to provide our kids with the excitement and with the intrigue and the mystery and all of that. We have it, you know, it's just, but unfortunately, the media is dominated with the Western view.
Yeah.
The Western fairy tales and stuff which they've, you know, turned into movies and all this kind of thing. So, you know, it has dominated the world.
Yeah.
And this is part of the struggle that the Muslim world is faced with. But, you know, more and more, I mean, I've seen some cartoon movies, for example, made on Salah ad-Din, which is good, excellent. You know, it's a very powerful one, which was done, produced in Malaysia, I believe, in. It was, you know, one of the Gulf states had paid for it or whatever.
Yeah.
They produced series on Salah ad-Din, you know, which is very attractive to young people, etc. And it's true.
Yeah.
You know, exciting. It was, you know, had all this stuff. But it's true. It's, you know, it's a true story.
Yeah.
There's so much more that could be produced and should be produced. Because you're telling, when you're telling the truth, when you're using this, you know, to provide entertainment, etc., the truth that you're telling, I mean, that gives it even a deeper impact.
Yeah.
You know, for Muslims. I mean, they should see it. They should know it. They should be aware of it.
Yeah.
More so than what's out there.
So you're saying that we should have got ahead of the game and put something out on Dajjal ourselves. That's interesting that Turkey has taken the lead on some of these films. You had Ertugrul had a really big, profound impact on so many people, even a lot of not yet Muslims out there. They were so like amazed. I think the president of Venezuela, I think it was, or other places, they were really captivated by this series. They have the Osman and what is your opinions on this?
Yeah, I think it's excellent. You know, this it needed to be done. I mean, actually, Gaddafi was the first one to actually do it when he did that. You know, Messenger of Allah, Muhammad, Messenger of Allah.
Which
movie.
One? Which one with Anthony Quinn?
Yeah,
he did that.
That was Gaddafi. Yeah, Gaddafi bankrolled the whole thing.
Wait,
you
that's
know.
That's like the legendary film. That film, like it was in the VHS cassettes, two parts.
Yeah. The movie.
The message.
The movie houses. And yeah, this was Gaddafi. He led the way. He made that sunnah. But, you know, people didn't really follow it as they should have. I mean, more should have been made, more information about, you know, because that was a time, actually, it was big contention about whether, you know, some of the Sahaba could be seen and, you know, Bilal, and, you know, there were issues, right? And Al-Azhar was consulted, and they did the consultation before doing the movie. And, you know, there's some controversy, but the number of people that I know who accepted Islam after watching that movie is huge.
Yeah, and that's not, huge.
One of the leading, you know, factors for people accepting Islam, you know, after the Malcolm X in the U.S., you know, is that movie.
Yeah, that was an epic film, and that's SD. We need a new HD now version. We need some more up and coming, some new Islamic films with that send that moral message that, you know, they just had something that we saw recently. They're coming out with these crazy films. Christians were very offended just recently. You mentioned the film about Jesus. I think there's an older one. They got a new one. They got like a million plus signatures to protest this. This was made in Brazil. They were portraying Jesus, peace be upon him, as a homosexual in this film. And I was saying, just as they have a right to be offended, we also take strong offense, because we'll get offended when someone portrays Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, in a negative way. But we also, just as right, Jesus is a part of Islam, we also take strong offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
The old one was the same theme.
This is a new one. It's called
Jesus Christ Superstar. This came out, you know, back in the, I think, the 70s or late 70s.
This one's not even out. This one's coming out. So this is a new one. Yeah. So this is and this is real important, like you said, to counter that. There, we got all this money, all this oil. You got all these resources. I mean, if we took a little part of that, put it towards the dawah, that would be great, wouldn't it?
Really, really. And recently, I remember seeing some things on YouTube or television with Erdogan and Mahathir and Imran Khan, you know, coming together and saying that they needed to develop, you know, a unified television station to project the correct, you know, image of Islam, you know, globally. I mean, this should have been done, you know, like Dr. Zakir Naik, he's doing this as a one-man job. He's done, mashallah, Allah bless him for the efforts that he has made. You know, this should have been done by Muslim nations. He was doing something that a nation needs to be doing.
Yeah.
They can afford to put the kind of millions that were needed to get this thing done. But, you know, it should have been followed up with many other stations.
Inshallah, yeah. Some people can be led to watch our talk now and get inspired to go and do something good and put together some films and, you know, get out there in this industry and, you know, get the true message of pure monotheism out, the moral message of goodness that's out there, that all these are the true heroes, the legends, these men that God Almighty sent to guide humanity to the truth. And I was thinking about, because during this time of Dajjal and all this stuff happening, you wonder how so many people can get misled. But if you haven't been awoken, if you've just been spending all your time, you know, just watching movies and entertainment, going to nightclubs and just, you know, kicking it and not really taking life and the purpose of life serious, then no wonder you're going to, when this all comes to fruition, you're going to be trapped, tricked.
Yeah, sure. I mean, and the people have been tricked before, you know. You have, what's his name, Jimmy Jones.
Yeah.
You know, way back in the 70s, taking 700 of his followers to Guyana, South American, getting them to commit suicide, you know. Uh-huh. I mean, they were believing he was God. You know, you had Father Divine in New York City, you know. He had followers, and his followers were not allowed to get married. Eventually, he got married, and, you know, his wife from Canada, you know, he called her Mother Divine, you know.
Yeah.
they had a paradise there in New Jersey, and, hey, you know, people get suckered into this stuff, you uh-huh. know. With ignorance, where there is ignorance and people coming at the time when people are in need, you know, this is the real trial that can, you know, bring people to their knees and to accept these kinds of things. And this is one of the things that, you know, Dajjal, he will be known when he comes into an area, he will have with him, you know, a mountain of meat and bread, you know, and where people are starving because of the drought, the world global drought, you know, where people are starving, they can't find anything to eat. And he's coming with, you know, mountains of bread and meat. Hey, that's the test. You know, your faith. How strong is your faith when you're dying? Your family is dying, starving right next to you. And this man says, okay, you need? I'll make the treasures of the earth come out for you.
Yeah.
Here is the food. Here is the meat. Here is the water. You know, he will provide. He will cause the sky to rain. Appear to cause the sky to rain. He won't actually. But yeah, he will. That will. That's how it will appear to them. He'll tell the sky, rain, and rain will fall. Mm-hmm. Of course, this is by Allah's will. It's part of the test. Mm-hmm. But this is the challenge that we're faced with. You know, in where does the faith reside? It resides in the heart, in the mind, where there is real knowledge, where people's faith is based on fake knowledge, fake, false information. They may be very enthusiastic, but that faith can easily be broken down. Huh. And that's what happens with the charlatans who trap people, drag them into, you know, mass suicides and things like this. You know, because their faith is not based on real knowledge. Uh-huh. You know, so you can easily slip in and offer them things which will appeal to their desires or whatever and trap them.
Yeah. So thank you, Sheikh. Thank you very much. Tell us, for people, you, as I mentioned earlier, you're the director, founder of the IOU. If people want to take some classes, sign up, how can they do so?
Well, this is quite simple. You know, it's online university, Islamic Online University, also known as the International Open University. They just have to go online, you know, www.iou.edu.gm. And we offer their Sharia in English medium. We have Arabic also, bachelor's programs, master's programs. And then we also have modern studies of education, psychology, banking and finance, information technology, business administration. But everything is taught from an Islamic perspective, a comparative perspective, where we look at what these subjects have as content as it comes from the West, because they are the leaders now in education. But then we look at where Islam differs. Islam has another point of view and another approach to some of these topics in different areas of these different topics. And Muslims should be aware, you know, because we're learning blindly, mostly in the university. They're just taught this and people just swallow it and it just becomes fact, you know, like Darwin's theory of evolution. You know, for people, it's fact. We read it enough times. We heard it enough times. We've seen it. We even seen movies about it. You know, how a man, you know, evolved from a monkey. You know, Planet of the Apes or whatever. You know, we've seen it. We've experienced it. We believe it. It's reality, but it's not. It's just a story. Mm-hmm. His story.
Yeah, his story. Yeah. We started off with the topic of, because of this Netflix series of the Dajjal. Do you have also, you also have the 4 year, 6 year, do you have the non-diploma classes also? And I think, do you have something on the Dajjal if people wanted to learn more about this topic, specific lectures, courses?
Well, in terms of the Jal and details, I mean, on YouTube, in my YouTube channel, AAB Phillips, there's a series of lectures that are there on the Dajjal.
Okay, so people can get to get more informed on it, who are really
And pick it
interested,
up there.
they can go check it out there. Shay, thank you so much. It was really honor and pleasure to have you again. It's been a while, but it's good to be reconnected and have you on the program on the Dean Show.
Pleasure. My pleasure. Alhamdulillah. We need to connect in Bosnia,
Inshallah,
inshallah.
yes. Jazakallah
One of
khairs.
these days.
Inshallah, yes. Okay.
Salaam
Walaikum as-salam wa rahmatullah.